Okay. Hey, good to see y'all. If you got a Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes, okay? Ecclesiastes. And you're going, Ecclesiastes what? Ecclesiastes. You got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. That's where we're going to be today. Hey, welcome. It's good to have you on this holiday weekend. And it's really weird for it to already be Labor Day and Labor Day weekend. But anyway, we've been in this series. And I want to go ahead and kind of catch you up a little bit about this series and where we've been going. We call it God's at War, and we're doing this a parallel with our connection groups, our small groups. In fact, we just started, I don't know, 14 or 15 brand new groups just for this, because it's such a powerful subject, this thought called God's at War. And I'm kind of going along. Actually, Kyle Eidelman was an author who put out a book, God's at War, a couple of years ago. And so that's what the connection groups are doing, that material. It's powerful material. It's great material. And so I'm kind of going alongside, just sharing this whole thought of what does it mean God's at War? We talked about it last week. And I just want to just take just a couple of minutes. I can't take a long time to recap, but in case you missed last week, I would really encourage you to pick up a CD or go online and catch back up, because that's the foundation of everything else we're going to talk about. And so today I will take just a few minutes to share with you, but this whole thought of what do you mean by gods? Okay, they're obviously idols, false gods, those things that are at work around us for our affections and different things like that. And we have some of them listed up here. Okay, but there again, this is not near all of them. It seems like anything can become a pursuit. Anything can become a goal. Anything can become a god in your life to where it has you. You know, we're going to talk about this one when we get there. You know, again, money in and of itself is nothing wrong with it. Okay, as long as you have it and it doesn't have you. When it has you, it becomes a god. And that's just one area. That makes sense. In fact, none of these are bad. In fact, all of them are great. We've been talking about this. All of them are great gifts. Okay, but they can be very oppressive gods. That is, when they take control. Okay? So that's what we're talking about, what these things mean. In fact, let me just tell you this. I'm starting to feel this as I'm putting this together, is that all of us struggle in one area or another. Okay? All of us struggle in one area or another. In fact, and usually it's different areas. In fact, what may be a real struggle for one person isn't a struggle at all for another, and vice versa. But you're going to find this, is that when I happen to attack the God that you may struggle with, you're going to have a weird feeling happen to you. In fact, you might almost get downright, defensive. In fact, you may say, well, I'm not ever coming back here, and that's up to you. But if you feel that way, then you may want to check to see if it happens to be a struggle, right? It doesn't have to be a full-blown, surrender service type thing to be headed there. So again, it's not all or nothing, but this is going to be an interesting series, because this is going to hit right where we live. Okay. This is going to hit right where everything is. So those are gods at work around us. And we looked in the past last week in our ancient past of all the people that they put names on gods and built hunks of stones of what they represented. But the concept is the same. Okay? That was last week. We talked about these gods and they're vying for our affections. We talked about at war. What's at war? What's the battleground? The battleground is your heart. Okay? And we talked about the heart last week as being the foundation of who you are. That is your heart. That is who you have become. Those things that are important to you. You can't change your heart on a dime. It takes work. This thing called the heart is an interesting concept. In fact, the scriptures teach several things that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That is the things that are most important to you. That is the things that you spend the great resources of your life on. The greatest being your time. I'm here to tell you that where you spend the majority of your time is going to be where your heart's going to go. It's just the way it works. So now again, obviously, work takes a bunch of time and different things like that. But I'm talking about that time, that affection, that time of that I have some control over. It's that where you spend your time and your resources and your talents. That's why we like to call them, and we've been calling them this for years, the time, the treasures, right? Finances and your talents. That is what you're gifted at doing. Where you spend those things is where your heart's going to go. The scripture says where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to go. So we talked about those things. The scripture teaches to guard your heart. Be careful what you let in here because it affects who you are. I was talking with a group of students this past week, and we talked about this whole thought. Have you ever, when somebody's done something that they shouldn't have done, and if you ever bring them in, I used to have to do this in my student ministry and while I was working in school. And you bring somebody in and you ask them, and they've done something stupid, right? I know none of you have ever done anything stupid, but let me just for sake of the illustration, right? And you look at them and you say, why in the world would you do that? You know what their answer is? I don't know. Listen to me. I know. Because that's where your heart is. Right? You have to own it. And until you own it, nothing will ever change. If it's always somebody else's fault or bad influences, or if you'll ever own it, then there's a chance for change. But if you never own it, there is no chance. That's why it is so hard to talk about these things, right? It's always so hard to talk about these things because it's so easy to skirt them and get around them. Okay, I've got to stop. That was last week. Okay, we talked about the gods. We talked about the battleground, which is for your heart. And we talked about the tactics, which they demand sacrifice, service. These gods demand sacrifice and service. And if you want them, okay, if again, these things you're pursuing, these things you want in your life. So that's where we're going. Now, the first one I want to talk about today is, you'll take a look, is the gods of pleasure. The gods of pleasure. The reason I chose this one, because this is the God of choice in our culture, in the United States, in America, right? You go around the rest of the world, this is not so much the God in charge. But for Americans, this is what we worship. Jeff, how do you know? Right? Because if you were to ask, okay, if I was just to go out, and I have actually done this before, it's been a long time, but I can already tell you the answer you're going to get. If you were to go out and ask today, just to person on the street, okay, in Pinellas County, hey, tell me what's your goal in life? Hey, what's your goal in life? I'm telling you, 70% of your answer is going to be this. Well, I just want me and my family to be happy. Okay? And that sounds real noble. But you know, happiness, pleasure, whatever you want to call it, whenever it becomes your pursuit, you almost never find it. Right? Whenever it becomes your goal, you almost never catch up with it. Yeah, you'll get a few handfuls here and there. But when it becomes the reason that you're living, it becomes a god, and I'm here to tell you, it becomes elusive. It becomes elusive. And so I want to talk about that. I want us to jump right into it. I want us to be able to get to everything today. And again, if this is more than likely, if you haven't struggled in this area, especially in the culture in which we live, if you haven't struggled in this area, you're going to. And so because this is the thing that's around us all the time, okay, the be happy, the feel happy, the act happy, the whatever, okay, this is it. Now, let's jump into it. Now, number one is what I'm going to call it. I'm just going to call it, it is a gift. The gift of pleasure is a gift. Remember this, the gift, it, when you think about the gifts that God gives, pleasure is a wonderful thing if it remains a gift. But if this ever becomes a god, you're going to be in trouble. If this ever becomes a pursuit, you will only find glimpses of it. You'll see what we mean in just a minute. Let me tell you what I mean by the gift of pleasure. I've had you turn to Ecclesiastes. I have another verse. that don't turn to this one, just look at the screen. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. And it says this, okay, or which one of you, if he has a son, ask him for bread, will he give him a stone? Jesus is making an analogy here about the relationship between parents and children. And he is talking about parents' natural thought inside to provide things for the children. All right, so he goes on to say, this is Jesus' words. And he says that which one of you, if your son's hungry and wants bread, are you going to give him a stone instead? And, you know, it's like, here, try to eat this kind of thing, right? And so, and then it goes on to say, or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Are you going to give him something dangerous? Okay, and then Jesus makes this analogy. He says, if you then, okay, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? All right, now this is interesting. This is because we're talking about gifts. And we're making an analogy. In fact, I'm going to share with you a little bit of it today. I took the entire Wednesday, this past Wednesday, to go over this verse and one other, because there was so much in it and I wanted to explain it to everybody. I can only just briefly mention it today. But what does it mean that you have a Heavenly Father that knows how to give good gifts? I think this is going to help you understand. When you think about pleasure, God obviously is a God of pleasure. And pleasure makes a great, it makes a fantastic gift. Okay? I mean, things that happen today, you know, things that bring pleasure, entertainment, okay? Food, okay? Why does it taste good? Right? Some of it, most of it, right? Why does it taste good? Why? Because God made it that way, right? It's to bring pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure. I think it's a gift. I think it's a God-given gift. I think it's the good gift that's mentioned here, is that our Father, your Father in heaven, knows how to give good gifts to his children. Therefore, to be happy, to have fun, I think is a gift. It is not something to be avoided. But if it ever becomes pursued, you're in trouble. It will run out. See, I'm not one of these guys that just because pleasure can be tempting, you ought to avoid it. Right? In fact, I remember growing up, I think that some believers or some Christians, that they think the more miserable you are, the more godly you are. In fact, if we can be just so miserable, that means we're hyper spiritual. I don't agree. I never have agreed. Okay? I think that the problem is you just don't avoid something because it has the potential of being a problem. Because there are things in this life that have pleasure and fun to them. And they're not to be avoided. Okay? But they're also not to become gods in your life, which is what our culture has become. Okay? This is the God of choice in our culture. I'm not saying you in here in the room, but my bet is you've struggled here. Why? Because everybody around us is looking for the next thrill. Everyone around us is looking for the next, well, you know, if you really want to be happy. And they have their own little formula, and it's a myriad of things which we can't cover today. But I want you to understand it can and is, it's a gift. It's a gift. Entertainment, laughter, food. You know, when you take a look at entertainment, you have, you know, television, music, movies, sports, video games. When you put all those together, they can be fun things. But when they become pursuits, it gets out of whack, right? When they become what you are pursuing, it's what you are about, that is to feel this certain way. It becomes a great struggle. It becomes a great struggle in your life. You know, guys, let me just tell you what I mean by this. And to let you know, how bad this has gotten, and don't feel bad if you said this before, because this is our whole culture. We have people today that leave their families, that leave their spouses, that leave their children for one reason. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that. You want to know what that one reason is? Anybody want to guess? I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. Okay. So why does that matter? Because pleasure is your God. I told you this was going to be tougher. But you got to hear these things. We are living a lie in our culture. Because the more a person runs after this, the less they receive, because they start making terrible choices. Terrible choices. In order to be happy. And then they wonder why they just keep getting more miserable and more miserable. It is an amazing thing. Let me give you a thought here under this gift. It is a gift. But it makes a terrible pursuit. I've been a parent. Seems like I've been a parent forever. I'm tailing off toward the end. All right. I still have one at home who's 16. And then I have a Thai student, Umala, who's with us. She's here for another year. And so I am still a parent, but I have had a lot of road miles behind me. And I have three now that aren't at home anymore. And when I think about through the years, as a parent, I have the opportunity in my children's life to give them a lot of things that will make them happy, to bring pleasure to them, right? I have a lot of opportunities, lots and lots and lots of opportunities. Now, here's the other trap. If you're a parent and your goal for your child's life is for them to be happy, you and your child are in trouble. But that's what most people's goal is. I just want them to be happy. It's just like you're so far off base, you don't even know what you're talking about. Do you know that there are things in my children's life that I withhold from them that I know will make them happy or would make them happy? Because they can't handle it right now. Does that make sense to you? You know, this whole happiness thought, this whole I've got to be pleased, it's all, I'm here to tell you, it's what the problem is, right? And so therefore, do you think that there are things in my children's life? Whenever, I asked the crowd this past Wednesday this question, I don't need you to answer it. But I asked the crowd this past Wednesday. I said, what happens if you give a kid anything they want? Right? And then they started throwing out answers, incredible answers. You know, spoiled, ungrateful. One person threw out, which I thought was interesting, bored. I thought that was an interesting thought. Do you know that the word term bored or boredom is a recent word? Most cultures in our world don't even have a word for boredom. And the reason we have such a big word for boredom is because we have so much entertainment. You don't have boredom unless you are searching for the gods of pleasure. Boredom is not even a concept. It's not even a word in your vocabulary unless this is a problem. Isn't that something? Again, I just want you to see these things. You know? And we've got whole groups of people today that are spending 25 hours a week on a video game. And we wonder because it feels like we're accomplishing something, but we're accomplishing nothing. It's just sheer entertainment. It's just, again, I just feel like we need to hear this. Because it's not just a video game. It's all the movies, it's all the entertainment. And I'm not anti those things. I watched college football yesterday. And that's one of them, by the way. We got whole groups of people who've sold their soul to sports and following sports and all these things. And I am not one of them. I enjoy it. It is fun for me, but it is not a pursuit. It used to be. I told you about that last week. But it is not anymore. In fact, to be honest with you, sports, while it's fun, in reality is, I mean, it's not that big a deal. Even though I loved it at one time.
Why? Because these pursuits can be a trap. I think you know it to be the truth. Therefore, there are things in my life, that in my children's life, that I withhold from them on purpose because I don't think they can handle them. If I thought they can handle them, I'm gonna do my best to get them for them. I think the God in heaven, he's the perfect father. I'm evil, right? Me being evil, okay, you know how to give gifts. How much more nor does God know you? And I want you to know, I think there are things in your life he withholds from you. In fact, we've become such a hedonistic society is that we get mad at God when he doesn't give us things. And then we wonder why he doesn't. Because whenever you look to a parent figure only for what they can get you, you're messed up. It's just the truth. Therefore, is who God is, our Father, if he truly is, okay, if you truly are his child, if all you ever care about is what he can give you, then have you not fallen into the same trap? Isn't that interesting? And if I ever feel that one of my children are doing that, then I'll cut them off. Why? Because they're not treating me right? No, because it's not what's best for them. This whole hedonistic pursuit, I'm here to tell you guys, it's a trap. You know it. If you've lived long enough, only the very young know that this is not a trap. Don't know that this is a trap. Okay? It's just, okay, we got it. All right, the gifts. All right. Number two is the trap. Let's read about it a little bit. All right, let's read about it a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. All right, here we go. I said in my heart, this is Solomon. He was one of the wisest guys to ever live. Okay? He wrote about it. And in fact, let me just tell you what, Ecclesiastes is an amazing book, but it can be very depressing. Because he records in Ecclesiastes his trying to fill that empty place in here. And in chapter 2, he tells you what he's going to give it a shot. And look at verse 1. I said in my heart. That just sets it up, doesn't it? I said to my heart, hey, come now. I'm going to test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. So Solomon says, I'm going to try it all. Okay? I'm going to take a swan dive into anything that makes me happy. Okay? And so it's recorded here for us. It's interesting. But it goes on to give you the summation of it. It says, behold, though, this was all vanity. In other words, it was just meaningless. It just turned into something that was an albatross around my neck, basically. Take a look now, if you will, in verse 2. He says, come now. I said to laughter, it is mad and of pleasure, what use is it? And then it gives you a picture. Look at verse 3. I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. Okay, so he thinks to himself, well, something that brings fun and pleasure. Okay, let's try this whole alcohol, direction. And, that can be one of the most dangerous ones. And let me tell you why. Alcohol and drugs, because alcohol is a drug. And so when I use that term, I use them both. Let me tell you about alcohol and drugs. They are fun. And they do bring pleasure, or nobody would do them. Okay? But remember this. The insidious part about these is that it's synthetic. You can feel good without having to do anything for it. And that's why people get hooked on it. It doesn't take any work. You don't have to accomplish anything. You don't have to put any time into it. You can have pleasure with no work, which is what our country's all about, by the way. Okay? As long as I don't have to do anything to feel good, put me in that line, all right? And that is why alcohol and drugs can be such a trap, and is a trap in our culture, huge trap. We all know about it, because we all know that what happens is it's a synthetic feel good, and it doesn't last. And then it takes more and more to have the same thing. And so anyway, when that becomes a pursuit, If pleasure becomes a pursuit, a lot of reason the people, in fact, I know people, groups of people today, there could be people here today. You have absolutely no idea how to enjoy yourself or have fun without alcohol involved or drugs. It's not possible for you. You don't think it exists. And so you have totally become dependent upon a synthetic feel good. See, guys, I'm not just up here saying, don't do. No. You need to know why. What is that? What is that direction? Again, Solomon found the trap. In fact, everybody in the room knows it's a trap. But everybody thinks that's only going to happen to someone else. It's interesting, isn't it? We can talk more about that. Today is not an anti-alcohol drug message. It's just, I just want you to see where it fits and why it can become a god, because our culture is obsessed with this. Our culture is obsessed with it. It's unbelievable. Let's continue. Continue to read what Solomon said. My heart still guided me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. You'll find out in a minute. He didn't plant them. He had somebody else do them. I made myself pools for which to water the forest, growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. Those are the ones who did all the work. And in other words, and had slaves who were born in my house. I had great possessions, all in the head of those, anybody in Jerusalem. So basically, he had the ability to do anything he wanted to do to make him happy, make himself happy. He was probably one of the top 10, 20 most wealthy people in history. So he takes a swan dive into making himself happy. And I'm here to tell you, read the rest of this book of Ecclesiastes. It is the most depressing book in the Bible. In fact, you just want to throw yourself off the bridge after you read it. Why? Because Solomon is sitting there telling you, I mean, how low he got when he focused only on his own happiness. It's an amazing thing. Interesting. All right. So also, he gathered great stuff. Let's continue to read what he said. I also gathered for myself silver, gold, treasure of kings, provinces. I got singers. Right. Both men and women. So basically he got a, you know, an entertainment troupe together with great music and probably great drama and all of these things. And boy, are we the entertainment society. You know, how many times can you go on the television and you've got 200 channels and you say, oh, there's nothing on. We've worn ourselves to the edge of entertainment to where we can find no enjoyment in it. Right? It's a trap. And we know it's a trap. And yet we think it's somehow going to be different for us. We're going to find that it that's really going to make us happy. Isn't that interesting? I'd love to keep talking to you about that amount of money we spend. It's probably the biggest, if you were to be honest, it's probably the biggest account, or it's the biggest line item in your personal budget. Believe it or not, is entertainment. When you add the whole computer thing, I tell you, want to screw somebody's life up? Just take this away from them. Right? You can take mine away. Take it. But when you think about how... Y'all know what I'm talking about. This is where we are. I'm not talking about work stuff. I'm not talking about all that. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. That's the biggest line item in our budget. Why? Because we have to be entertained. I dare you to go put it up. I dare you to go put it up for just a few days. And then watch yourself go into withdrawals. And you'll see the things that we allow into our lives that we think we have them, that they seems like they have us. I don't know. It's interesting. Take a look at the next one. It says, in many, he goes on after it says about the entertainment industry. He goes on to say, many concubines, delights of the sons of men. Concubines, basically, that's a harem. Basically, what we're talking about is sex there, which I think falls into this. But in our culture, the whole sex thing is its own. OK, category. So we're going to make this a little bit different. I'm going to do next week just on the God of sex. Why? Because that seems to be such a huge pursuit for the culture in which you live. Everything revolves around it. Seems like half the jokes revolve around it. But I want you to know what its purpose is. I want you to know why God did it. God intended it for pleasure. But I want you to see something about it. I want you to see how it can grip the heart, and it can become enslaving to the person. I want you to see, because there's more to sex than just pleasure. There's a whole picture of who you are in here that God attaches to this thing. And we'll talk about that next week. I can't start now, but I just wanted to give you kind of a thought. I just felt like that this, in our culture, that just, you know, we need to take some time to talk about it. So it wasn't going to be enough time today. All right. So let's go ahead and skip over that one and go on down and see what else he said. So I became great and I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes, this is classic. Look at verse 10. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. In other words, do we ever get the chance to do something like that? But Solomon did. He said, I did not withhold from myself anything that I wanted. And he became a miserable, depressed person. Because these things make great gifts, but they make terrible gods. Right? You will find out that you will go from thing to thing, and you'll use it up until it has no joy to you anymore, and then you'll throw it in the dirt, and then you'll move on to something else. And then as you get older, you'll get cynical, right? Because you say, what does it matter? It's an incredible thing. We know it to be the truth, and yet it's a tough thing to hear. Because this is the God of choice in our culture. It's not the only God, but it's the most popular one in our culture, right? In the area in which we live. Interesting. All right, continue to read. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity. It was like striving after the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. A little fatalistic, wouldn't you think? It's all meaningless. It doesn't matter. Okay. All right, number three. This is where I'll close today. All right. This is where I'll close. Again, there's a lot more to this, but there's just not enough time to talk about all of it. Because when you look at all of the different things and the amount of time and resources that we spend on these things, that's why our heart goes there, right? Is there anything wrong with food? Absolutely not. Is there anything wrong with eating good food? Absolutely not. But when it becomes a pursuit, right, it'll begin to control you. Isn't that interesting? Is there anything wrong with entertainment? Of course not. Video games, picked on those guys, right? Is there anything wrong with playing a video game? Absolutely not. I've played some, especially when my son was younger. Have a lot of fun with them. But my Lord, it's not a pursuit. Does that make sense? As long as you're hearing me, as long as you're hearing this, I think it's important for you to see. Number three, the resolution. In fact, a lot of these weeks, you're going to see a similar outline. Okay, the gift, the trap, and the resolution. Okay, in fact, we may just let that be the same outline every week for every one of them. All right, just because you need to see what it is as a gift. It can make an awesome gift. I'm here to tell you, at Christmas time, I love to give gifts that make people happy, especially my family. Right, well, God, you like to see him smile, you like to see, you know, there's nothing wrong with that until that's become your goal. And I'm telling you what, then you'll never find it. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. I'm just about done here. But don't miss these next few verses about the resolution. Okay, about the resolution. You'll take a look there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, a very popular passage. If you've never heard of it, then I think it'd be real good for you because you'll see it fresh. But if you've seen it before, don't miss out. If you look up at the previous verses in chapter 6, Jesus is telling everybody, hey, listen, don't be anxious about all your stuff. You know, your clothes and what you're going to eat and what's this going to happen. And Jesus makes this great statement. He says, how many of you by worrying can add one day to your life? And the answer is none. Why? Because you're not in that kind of control, which we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that kind of control a little bit later. All right. I tell you, this series is not for the faint of heart. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see how many people start ducking out of some of these. Because you look across and say, oh, I'm definitely not coming on that day. I don't want to hear about that. That's why I told you, this is not for the faint of heart. I'm going to tell you the truth. Not the popular thoughts, but the truth about what they mean. But anyway, so Jesus is talking about all these things. And then he makes a statement at the very end, which has become a very quoted statement. In fact, there's even a song that people sing about it. But Jesus makes this statement, says, but seek ye first, or seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen to this. And then all these things, God will take care of those. So, keep that verse up there. So what Jesus is saying, make the pursuit of your life the true God. And then he knows how to give good gifts to those that are his. And then he'll add things to your life which you'll enjoy and actually find contentment in. But not if you start seeking those things first. Anytime you begin to seek the gift as opposed to the giver, you will end up in the trap. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it? I love isn't it, but that's a Tennessee thing, and I know you've sent me letters about that. All right. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Take a look at the next verse. It's real similar to that one, seek ye first. In Psalm 23, okay, if you know the Bible, that's the Lord is my shepherd, right? Shall not want. Leads me in green pastures and beside still waters and restores my soul and all those things. If you've ever looked at the very last verse, okay, don't miss the last verse. Now look at this. It says, there's surely goodness and mercy. In fact, the word mercy there can also be translated love. Surely mercy, goodness and love, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I think that's interesting that it says goodness and mercy will follow me. Okay, have you ever stopped long enough to think about that? What that verse is saying? I think we've heard it so many times that we don't even know what it says. But what does it mean those things will follow you? Don't miss this. All right. What's verse 1? Okay, most of you should know that. What's verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? In case you don't miss out on that, the personal pronoun my. He is my shepherd. That is, I'm following him. Why? Because he's my shepherd. Father, whatever you want to talk about. Right? So if the Lord is my shepherd, I'm following him because the sheep follow a shepherd. Okay? Verse 6. All right? So if I'm following the shepherd, then... Okay. Goodness and mercy is following me because I'm following the shepherd. But don't miss this. If you decide, I want more, so I'm going to start following goodness and mercy. Isn't it interesting? You'll never catch it. Or if you do, it'll only be little bits and pieces. Right? Whenever you make the gift the pursuit, like goodness and mercy, you'll never catch it. But whenever you make him the pursuit, it'll catch you. Isn't that amazing how that works? For those of you that have ears to hear, that could be so enlightening and so freeing to you if you can truly hear what I'm talking to you about. If you can really put it in the palm of your hand and understand what I'm telling you, that could be life-changing for you. Because of the sheer disappointment and discontentment that lives in our culture because of this. It's a choice, right? What do you seek? Psalm, last verse. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, if your total, have you ever thought about that? If your total desire is to seek Him and to know Him, then He's going to give good gifts to you. Why? Because you'll keep them in perspective. I would give my children anything that I possibly could if I thought they could handle it. If I knew it would make them happy, and if I knew they can handle it, and wouldn't wind up getting best of them. My dad knew not to get me a fast sports car when I turned 16. Lord, I almost killed myself in the Pinto. All right. Three wrecks later, again, yes, would it have made me happy to have some kind of cool fast car? Yeah, it would have made me happy. But I couldn't handle it. I wasn't mature enough to handle it. You see, if you delight yourself in Him, if He is the delight of your life, you'll be amazed what He puts in your life. And not only will He put it in your life, but you'll enjoy it because perspective is right. Again, I just wanted you to see it today. It's a powerful thing to think about. It is a powerful foundation, this whole series. That's why in these connection groups, we're tracking it alongside, covering different areas, giving you a chance to share. Why? Because I'm here to tell you, if you're truly looking for this, I want you to know that Jesus made the statement, okay? He made the statement, I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. That is His goal for your life. He'll give you as much as you can handle. That only makes sense because we as parents do that. Good parents. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to give you something you can't handle. And I'm not going to allow you to become a spoiled brat. A spoiled, bored brat. Right? I'll blow your life up before I let you become that. I think God thinks the same way of some of us. I think some of the best things He could do with some of us is just to blow our lives up. Oh, Jeff, don't pray for me. I don't want you praying for me. But do you understand what I'm saying, though? He is a good parent. And sometimes the best thing, even though we get mad at him. You ever had a child get mad at you for saying no? Oh, Lord, every one of mine. Multiple times. No. They think I'm so terrible and mean. Does that make sense? As we close today. There's never been a time in your life you've put your faith and trust in Christ. This is what we're talking about. Because unless you're His child, then a lot of this pursuit doesn't matter. Okay? Because that's where it starts. And then seeking Him is where it comes, the pursuit, it's the same concept. Pursuing, seeking, it's all in the same thing. So therefore, seeking Him is huge, but you can't seek Him until you start. And it's where the Scriptures teach about what Christ did at the cross and other things like that. That has not been the thought today, but it's been the foundation of everything we've said.